always live on the Odyssey app. It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Welcome into the Insiders.
I'm muted. Hey, there we go.
There we go.
I muted myself. I forgot to unmute myself. Microphones work better when they're on. That's a pro tip for you people out there who may want to work in media someday. Listen up, kids. We're dishing out advice on this program. It's the best day of the week. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Joe Brazil behind the glass. I'm from the home studio today because I don't feel well, and I'm so paranoid about getting people sick.
It's I appreciate you, Kyle.
I'm just obsessed with not... Am I down for the count today? No, I'm probably going to clean up around my house, but I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going outside. I'm hoping that I'm okay. We're going to do some tests and we're going to see, but that's why I'm at home today. Like I said, I feel okay. A little bit symptomatic of an illness, but I don't know whether it's allergies or COVID or a cold. I have no clue. So I'm just avoiding all of it, and I'm staying home.
Okay. That's the new world we live in, and I think it's best, you know? I'm one of those people who shows up, like, all the time, and even when I don't feel great.
Yeah, you probably shouldn't.
Yeah, but we're, like, in, like, this little, like, I don't know, concealed room, you know?
Yeah,
like,
understood, and I'm in there with you.
Yeah.
If you're feeling sick, please just go from home. Like, what are we doing here?
It's been a long time.
Talk directly at each other.
Yeah. Into microphones.
For 2 hours.
Yeah, two hours.
2 hours.
In one room. Right. Very little ventilation.
Man, so we'll jump off here talking about the NBA playoffs. And we'll start with the Lakers being eliminated in five games by the Minnesota Timberwolves. And I can't decide what my favorite part of the Lakers losing was.
Oh,
like, just anytime the Lakers get bounced, it's great.
Oh, no, I think all of it. Yeah.
Yeah, but the J.J. Redick temper tantrums are hilarious. Anthony Edwards, did you see Anthony Edwards did a lap outside crypto.staplesarena.com?
Yep. That was my favorite part.
Did a lap talking smack on the streets of LA.
That's amazing.
After eliminating Lakers. It's unbelievable. Anthony Edwards is a player I've liked for a long time. He is taking leaps for me, not just on the court. Like, he's really becoming, because last year you saw it in the playoffs, you start to see those steps toward him being like the guy. But he just wasn't quite there yet. And now you're seeing him take those steps as the guy with the personality that he has. I don't know if I've liked an NBA player this much in a long, long time.
Yeah, he's just so fun and real. Like, I think you can't, like, the joy is still there with him.
Yeah.
He's, you know, he's trying to become a professional and all that stuff, but you can see that, like, it hasn't got him yet. The league hasn't got him where he strips down what he says and he, you know, avoids talking about like delicate situations. He's just like a live wire, and I appreciate it. You know, like there are players out there that have this ability to just be sort of raw and original, and he's one of them, and you hope that he keeps that for as long as possible.
Oh, for sure. Like, that's something you just hope he never loses, and it's going to make a lot of people hate him. Because that's what happens, right? A player is really popular, and then they start winning consistently.
Yeah.
And then there's the pushback against that person. We'll see that eventually with Ant, I'm sure, assuming he starts winning. Or the opposite happens, where you never win, and now all of a sudden you're a fraud because you've never won a title.
Oh, yeah.
But he's in the sweet spot right now where he's still ascending. Was this series, because the Lakers beat the Timberwolves, the Timberwolves beat the Lakers 103-96 last night in game five of that series, the Wolves dispatch of the Lakers. Was that series to you more about the Timberwolves being good or the Lakers just not being good enough?
Well, I think it's I think it's a combination of both. But I, first of all, I think the Timberwolves are a team that, like, they've been trying to learn a new player all season long. And Julius Randle missed a bunch of time, but he's back. And since he came back the second time, they really were one of the better teams in the league. And you saw them start to ascend and start to play really well. They're dangerous, man. They've got all kinds of options. They've got all kinds of length and athleticism. You know, we can bash Rudy Gobert all we want about, you know, some of the things that he represents and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, he's still a really, really good defensive player, especially against a team that likes to, like, attack the rim. And if you're going to go inside against Rudy Gobert, you're going to face one of the toughest shot blockers the league has ever seen. And so for me, like, the way to counteract a player like that is to drag him outside and basically take him off the court. The problem is the Lakers just don't have those players. And so, like, maybe it's a matchup issue with this team specifically. They don't have great perimeter defenders at the 1-2, you know, so that's a problem. And so you're going up against a great offensive player in Anthony Edwards. And then, you know, again, you kind of counteract some of their greatness. You've got guys like Jalen McDaniels. You've got guys like Dante DiVincenzo that can really play defense and lock people up and at least make life difficult on the perimeter for guys like Luka, guys like LeBron. And I just think this might have been the wrong matchup for the Lakers, but I also don't think we really knew who the Lakers were. And now we know they're a team that's just not good enough on, you know, moving forward. They're going to have to make some major adjustments, and you only have a season or two left of LeBron James. He's not going to play forever, and at some point, you know, this is going to have to be Luka's team, and you're going to have to build that team accordingly.
And you saw, really, and this is where, like, Minnesota beat the hell out of them, and I think Minnesota now has the inside track to go back to the conference finals, and they might just be the toughest matchup for Oklahoma City in the conference finals, just because all the things you mentioned, their size and their athleticism, their length. I think they can just bother OKC in certain ways. But you mentioned Rudy Gobert, 27 points and 24 boards last night.
That's
for
wild.
Rudy Gobert.
That's
who gets played off the court in the playoffs. That's what. So a lot has been made about JJ Redick and the coaching job, and he played five guys for an entire second half, and is that responsible or not? Blah blah. They started Dorian Finney-Smith last night instead of Jackson Hayes. So they started ostensibly without a center.
Mm-hmm.
And then had no plan for how to attack Rudy Gobert and how to make him uncomfortable and how to play him off the court. And maybe they had a plan and they just couldn't execute it. But that's where you typically see him get run off, is by teams that, okay, they're just going to go small. They're going to get him on the perimeter and they're going to cook. And they just didn't have the horses to do that.
Yeah.
It was crazy. It was wild. I think the Lakers are in a really bad spot moving forward, which is music to Kings fans' ears. But they have, like you said, a year or two of LeBron left. The LeBron that we saw in the playoffs, he officially looked old. Like, doesn't look 40. What he's doing is still borderline miraculous, especially in the regular season. But that just, okay, it's a 3-point game with 4 minutes left. LeBron is just going to orchestrate everything offensively. They're going to get good shots. They're going to get stops. And then he's just going to get downhill, get a couple of and ones, going to knock down a big three. And it's curtain C in game six. He doesn't have that in his bag anymore. And I think you saw with Luka, he's still uncomfortable figuring out how to play with the Lakers. I think you saw him run out of gas, particularly defensively. In that series. And if you're LA and you're riding with LeBron James, who's due for an extension this summer, you're riding with Luka Doncic, who's due for a max extension. And if Austin Reeves is your guy that you're like, this is our future insurance post LeBron, it's going to be Austin Reeves and Luka Doncic. I think you're in a really difficult spot to surround Luka, at least in the immediate, with players who are going to make them the most effective version of themselves.
Yeah, it's really difficult, but the one thing I would point out is that this can be like a true, like, handing off of the torch. Like, the team that you build for LeBron and the team that you build for Luka are two very similar teams, right? Mm-hmm. And so you need shot blocking, you need length and athleticism, you need rim runners, you know, you need 3-point shooting, certainly. But I think that the way that this will work out is that you're going to have two guys sort of competing for who's the number one guy for a year, maybe two. I don't know. We'll see. But then there will be like the handoff to what this team is going to be moving forward. And I think it's going to be pretty simple to build. But again, they're like the Sacramento Kings. They're out there looking for exactly some of the same pieces, except for they need a center. And the Mark Williams trade that fell through, that they backed out of, that comes back to haunt them because they just got busted up by Rudy Gobert. And that just, you know, that would not have happened. Like, Gobert could have had a good game against Mark Williams, but Mark Williams is a very good young center if he would have been healthy enough to play and, you know, all that stuff. But
sure.
Like, not having that piece right there and not having that deal like finished and over and done with, that really hurt this team down the stretch because it's one of like three or four pieces that team needs, but they had one of them, and that piece is probably why you lost last night's game, because you didn't have that player.
You don't think Jackson Hayes is that guy?
No.
That's a stunner.
I've never thought that Jackson Hayes is that guy. That guy, whatever that guy means in this situation, he's not that. He's just not. So
did you see what Mark Williams had to say after the game?
No, I missed it.
On Twitter, currently X. Okay, give me 1 second. The home computer is struggling today, but I'm gonna get this tweet up, and I'll say the tweet for people listening on the radio on 1320 AM or 98.5 FM HD2. Here we go.
Mark.
It is a smiley face.
Just put a smiley face.
Immediately after they lost, he just threw a smiley face up on Twitter. And that's just perfect. Because like you said, they're the ones who pulled the plug on that trade.
Well, not only
the ones who said, nah, we don't want him.
Not only did they pull the plug, but realistically what they did is they hurt his value long term. Because they said, hey, look, his medicals are so bad, we're rescinding a gigantic trade. You know, that included their future first and Dalton Connect and like that trade like probably would have helped them. But again, I get it because Mark Williams is another, he's a young player who's due an extension and there are some major concerns about his back. And, you know, like it didn't take much to like poking around for me to be able to find out that dude barely practices and can barely play back to backs because his back is so bad. And he's like 23 years old, and that's just not a good look. It's not, you know, so I get the Lakers backing out, but what they should have done is, number one, not wait until the last second to do a trade. So the trade, when they rescinded it, there was nothing else they could do. But also, you know, it's one of those things where you should have had plan A and plan B, and you know, clearly plan B is not Alex Len. God bless Alex Len, but you know,
no,
he's just, you know, at this point it's tough. He's just getting further and further away from being an actual NBA player.
George Wheat hits the nail on the head, and we'll talk about the Warriors loss to the Lakers as well. But George Wheat said, this is not about the Lakers. It's about how the Wolves are just a better team. Yeah. I think that's right.
Yeah.
When you say, is this series more about the Timberwolves or the Lakers? It's like, it's more, the Timberwolves just took that series. I saw somebody say that JJ Redick shouldn't have played his aging superstar. Here we go. From Lotus Prime in the chatty house. It's almost like you shouldn't play your aging superstar 24 minutes with no rest. We talked about this yesterday, and I understand that critique, but there was no button JJ Redick was going to push. There was no lever he was going to pull that made the Lakers the better team 4 out of 7 times in this series.
No, I totally agree. Yeah.
You can figure it out and piece it together in the regular season. You can steal a couple of wins here and there, and you can win 50 games and wind up as a 3 seed. You sure can. The Lakers don't stink. But when you run up against a team like Minnesota that is really well built, they're young, they're athletic, they have a budding superstar, and now a feasible secondary creator in Julius Randle, which is the other like unbelievable part of this, is hand up. I was super wrong on the Julius Randle thing. I didn't think there was any way that was ever going to work. And now he's getting downhill. He's getting to the rim. He's making great decisions with his passes out. He is a reliable player that teams have to figure out how to guard. And you can't just throw your biggest best defender on Ant now. Because, man, you know what? If you do that, Julius Randle's going to cause you problems.
I agree, but I think
it's... I was stunned that worked.
I think at some point, though, like, we have to give it enough time to both fail and succeed. Like, sure. Like, right now, it looks like it's working, but also, like, it didn't work in the early stages, and I kind of want to see if this is who they are, if they're going to regress. And, you know, again, I agree this is not... it's not about the Lakers as much as it is about the Minnesota Timberwolves being just better at this point, but it's also... The Lakers, you can see... Just all the errors in their team build, and you're gonna have to address that if you're LA, and like, look, Minnesota's a good team, like we overlooked them multiple times this season. They're a good team.
Yeah, overlooked them because I didn't for me anyway. I was out on the Julius Randle experiment, and I'm trying to find post All-Star break. He played in 21 games and averaged 18.2 points, 6.8 boards, 5.2 assists, and he shot 52.3% from the field and 39.8% from three.
Yeah.
63% true shooting percentage. Like he's been really good for like a couple of months now.
No, that's true. You gotta keep being that good though. You gotta show that you can fit in for long term.
Well, like I said, I think we'll talk about Warriors Rockets here in a second, but I think with that matchup, I think the Timberwolves have an inside track to the conference finals, because I think they're going to be favored, or at least they should be favored, over whichever team comes out of that Warriors-Rockets series. The Kings hate watch continues, so we will dive into that Warriors-Rockets game. We'll dig into some Kings stuff that we did not get to yesterday. A stunner, LeBron James, unsure about his future. Not sure why that's a story. And here come the A's, your Sacramento A's. Are starting to get rolling a little bit. Plus, we got NBA playoffs tonight. Tons to dig into here in the next couple hours. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Joe Brazil's pushing buttons. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. It's ESPN 1320 and Sacramento Sports Leader.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento Sports Leader. Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Hey, man. James is there. I'm Kyle. Joe Brazil behind the glass. We're hanging out with you till noon. I want to get to the Rockets blowing out the Warriors last night. But the slow, very slow, the slow, steady movement toward Nico Harrison was right is my favorite part of everything that's happened in the playoffs, because he's not, there's no outcome here, because like I was talking to our buddy Jason Timpf about this the other day, friend of the program, does the Hoops Tonight podcast. You can find that on YouTube. He does such a great job. And I was talking to him about it, and there's no version where Nico Harrison was right, because even if he's correct about Luka, and man, you know what? His conditioning's a problem. His injury stuff's a problem. And he just never quite reaches that Pantheon level player we all thought he was going to be for 15 years in the league. Even if he doesn't reach that, you still didn't get enough for him, right? Like, the trade was horrible no matter how this whole thing goes.
Yep.
But as these playoffs have ticked along, the just little like, you know, Luka really was a couple steps slow on defense. Man, they really need somebody. Man, they need to put more pieces around Luke. Oh, man.
Luka's not in very good shape. That's what
it's this very slow churn toward people critiquing Luka with the stuff that Nico Harrison or sources inside the Mavericks building were saying about him after they traded him. Horrible trade. He will never be right for that, but there's definitely been an easing, at least outside of Dallas, an easing of the critique of Nico Harrison for giving away Luka Doncic.
Yeah, you know, like, look, there are certain colors that I don't typically wear, red being one of them, right? Like,
you look great in that hoodie, by the way.
I like
YouTube.com/ESPN1320, Twitch.tv/ESPN1320 if you want to see James in a red hoodie.
There it is. I don't usually wear red because I'm a redhead. And you know, like, you're not going to see me wearing a bunch of like even the black t-shirt you're wearing right now. I don't wear a lot of black because it just accentuates the fact that I have, like, I will burn, like, looking out a window, right? When sure, I watch sure. Luka play basketball on the Lakers, he just looks weird and yellow, and it just makes him look, it does not look good. Not the yellow with him is not good. The way it just makes him look out of shape and pasty white, and like, I don't know what it is, but it does not suit him just as a color. Like, he should be like, hey, can we wear the purple gear a few more times? Because this doesn't, I look bad on TV. Every time I see him, I look bad.
The yellow doesn't play.
Yeah.
At all. No, man. I like I said, that trade will never go down as a good trade ever, because objectively you traded one of the premier players in the league for a guy who's hurt a lot. A young rotational player, Max Christie, who I like a lot, but he's not. I'd be pretty surprised if he made an all-star team in his career, and like one first round pick. So like I said, the trade will never be good. But man, a lot of the critiques of Luka from the Mavericks, I think, were justified after that series. So we'll see what the Lakers look like. The problem is, I want to talk about what their offseason looks like a little bit.
Yeah,
because we've been going through and talking about the Kings and what can the Kings do maybe with some of these teams who are eliminated and might be looking to shake things up. The problem is one, the Lakers and Kings need the same stuff.
Yes, they do.
They're looking for the same type of players. So a swap doesn't make a ton of sense. Two, you can't look at the Lakers offseason the way you would any other team's offseason. Because the Grizzlies might have to trade Ja Morant or Desmond Bane or Jaren Jackson Jr. or all three, because that's how this works. Milwaukee might have to trade Giannis. They might have to figure out what they're doing with Dame after he tore his Achilles, because that's just kind of how this works. The Lakers, they might just fall backwards into a Giannis trade where they don't have to give up LeBron, Luka, or Austin Reeves. And now they just have Giannis on their team, because why not?
Because the league,
they fall backwards into those things all the time.
They do. The one good thing we have that we know is that Danny Ainge is not running the Milwaukee Bucks. So that lessens the percentage of the Lakers getting a sweetheart deal to land Giannis Antetokounmpo. Now, it's possible they get into a three-team trade where Danny Ainge provides all of the talent to the Milwaukee Bucks so Giannis can land in L.A. and takes on bad contracts. I could see him taking on, you know, we'll take Utah Jazz speaking here. We'll take Rui Hachimura, and we'll take Jackson Hayes and a couple of other. Gabe Vincent's bloated contract if he's still under contract for next season. And you've got to throw in Dalton Connect, of course, right? Because you're the Jazz. And we're going to ship all of that to Milwaukee. And Giannis, you just go to the Lakers. We don't really need we're going to send Lauri Markkanen and John Collins and some other good player to the Bucks so they can, you know, try to survive in the post Giannis era.
Gross. That's what's going to happen. That's 1,000% what's going to happen.
Yeah, it's probably what's going to happen.
Anyways. The Warriors and Rockets are going to a game 6 at Chase Center on Friday. The Rockets blew out the Warriors 131-116. Not that close, though. It was not. It was 33 or 31 when Steve Kerr pulled his starters, like less than halfway into the third quarter, said, you guys are all done for the night. Reserves, go get them and play mop-up duty. Those reserves cut it to 13 with like 8 minutes to go in the fourth quarter.
I know. I was waiting for them to like go, hey, Jimmy, Steph, go ahead and hop back in there. And let's
see what Rockets happens. Couldn't handle Moses Moody, Kevin Knox, Trace Jackson Davis, and someone named Braxton Key.
I didn't know he existed.
Dude, the Rockets had to put their starters back into the game. Like, that's objectively a disaster for Houston. They thought they were going to get all this rest. They bring their starters back in, and they eventually tamp down the comeback. They got it back to 18 or whatever, and they cruise to a win. This was such a weird game, man. Because I don't think Golden State stepped onto the floor like, okay, we're going to lose tonight. But the Rockets just came out and threw two haymakers, dropped an anvil on their heads, and the Warriors went, okay, like, we're just done now. It was like watching a game in December.
You know what, though?
It was so odd.
I feel like the Warriors, they do this, though. They look at a playoff series, they're like, okay, we're up. We're just going to take one light. We are. We're just going to, you know, like, we'll extend it. Let's just give us, we're not going to play a bunch of minutes tonight. You know, yeah. I've always felt like the Warriors, there's always a game or two in a series that they'll give up. And I don't know why that is, but, you know, they know how to play in the playoffs as well as anyone. So, like, who am I to judge what they're doing?
Yeah, I understand that. I guess the counter argument for me would be your best players are 37, 37, and 35. Wouldn't the motivation be to end this in five instead of messing around and having to win it? Because people keep referencing, you know, they lost that, they got smoked at home by the Kings in the 22-23 playoffs in game six. They got mollywopped by the Grizzlies in game five back in the 2022 season. I don't know that that's a like healthy way to go about playing in the playoffs. It's just giving up games.
It works.
That's
Kyle.
Insane to me. Like, you're not good. They're not good enough anymore to do that.
No, it works until it doesn't work anymore. Right. You know what I mean? Like, it does work. Like, when you're just cruising and it doesn't really matter, you're going to play 16 games. You're going to win 16 games and you're going to be the NBA champion. Right. But
sure,
you can give up a game or two here and there. And they've always been that way where they're like, okay, we'll throttle down a little bit. Or like, look, we got three games in 5 days. Let's take the middle one easy and let's just end this thing the next game. It's just whether or not you've got that in your bag still.
But that's it.
Does anyone think that the Rockets are going to win that series? Because I don't think they're going to win that series. And I'm a big Rockets, you know, proponent guy. I think that the Rockets are a great up and coming team, but I don't feel like they're going to win that series.
If they keep getting 2019 Fred VanVleet, and if Amen Thompson was so good offensively last night.
He's so good, man.
Bro, watching the game slow down for him is what, again, we're like, you view this through the Kings lens, right? Watching Houston's ascension in these playoffs, watching Minnesota figuring it out and maintaining their level of play after a massive trade this offseason. You know, the Spurs are going to be around. They just had the rookie of the year, and Victor Wembanyama is who he is. You know, what the ascending star in the league. Like, there's so many just really awesome young teams that you're going to have to catch here over the next, 2 years? Like, the bar, and I didn't even mention Oklahoma City. The bar in the West is just so freaking high, man. And watching Amen Thompson have the game slow down for him in real time, offensively, like, he just looks so much more in control when he's going to the rim. He's figuring out ways to leverage his athleticism and length really, really effectively on both ends of the floor. He had, how many steals did he end up with last night? Five steals and three blocks.
Oh, yeah.
And I think four of those steals were just Steph dribbling and him just going, nope, just poke it away, fast break, easy points.
He also gets a ton of deflections. Like, even if they complete a pass, he still gets his hand on it. And so they're, you know, starting from a deeper position because he already got the deflection. Yeah, man, he is going to be absolutely tremendous.
Yeah, up and down the board, they were really freaking good last night. They shot 55.1% from the field as a team, 13 of 30 from beyond the arc. I was super impressed with how they played last night, because a young team in that spot, you could easily be like, oh man, all the pressure's on us, we're at home, don't want to lose in five. And they came out and played their best game of the series. They were really, really good. A couple of Kings related things for you.
Okay.
Cam Whitmore played 0 minutes for the Rockets last night. He played a minute 43. He played the final minute 43.
Okay.
I'm sorry. But he was not in the garbage time lineup that carried them through most of the third quarter, most of the fourth quarter.
Yeah, there are times where, you know, like, I feel like people are like, they've bugged our phone. And there was somebody in the chat just a couple of minutes ago who literally almost verbatim hit me with the same text you hit me with last night about Cam Whitmore can't even get in the game in the second round. Yeah, there we go. Lotus Prime, bro, I believe he has bugged our phones.
Bro, it's just, why not? Is listed at 6'7", 232, super good athlete, had a really nice run of games at the end of last year. Maybe he's good, maybe he's not. But I'm calling and being like, hey, will you take a second-round pick? We got these two Charlotte second-round picks laying around you. Will you take one for them?
Yeah.
What's stopping you? That's what the Howie Roseman, GM of the Philadelphia Eagles, is famous for that. Just sitting there on a random Wednesday, getting on the horn and being like, hey, Jaguars GM, James Gladstone, who's 14 years old. Hey, James, will you give us Trayvon Walker for a second round pick? And sometimes teams are like, oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
And that's how they execute some of these trades. If I'm Scott Perry, I'm looking at players like Cam Whitmore, who aren't even garbage time pieces for the Rockets. And he does all the things that, you know what, this team kind of needs, the Kings kind of need. Maybe he rides the bench. Maybe he's a Kessler Edwards. But man, he's just sitting around at the end of a bench, not playing. You have to call.
Yeah, he is like going into the draft, he had a wrist issue, but he also had some personality issues, right? So this is a guy who is considered a top four, top five pick in his draft. Mm-hmm. And he fell all the way into the early 20s. And of course, you're watching it happen. You're like, oh man, can you get back into the draft? And of course, he goes mm-hmm. to the Rockets, who already have so much talent already. I think he's a player that is kind of wasting away. And I think there are two ways you can attack this if you are if you're a team going up against the Rockets. Number one, try to go get Cam Whitmore for like a second round pick or some sort of asset that makes sense. Because you got to remember, Houston still has a bunch of extra second round picks. I mean, a bunch of extra first round picks. Like they're loaded. Mm-hmm. They're a lot like OKC. They're like fully loaded. But the other thing mm-hmm. is, you know, can you go get a Jabari Smith? Can you go get a Tari Eason? Can you up what you're offering in order to mm-hmm. get one of their good pieces? Because they still have Cam Whitmore, and Cam Whitmore mm-hmm. might be part of what they're. So if you go to them and say, hey, you know, like, what would it take to get Cam Whitmore out of there? And they're like, well, late first. And like, well, would you do a second or would you do 2 seconds? And they're like, It's like, okay, well, why are you holding on to him? And they say, well, we're holding on to him in case there's insurance for something else. It's like, okay, well, what is that something else? Can we get involved in this, the other thing? Because, you know, Jabari Smith Jr. he's like a young Jaren Jackson Jr. He's not as bulky, and his 3-point shot hasn't come around quite as much, but still that
Jabari Smith?
Player. Yeah, Jabari Smith. So I would like, hey, I'd go after him. I'd go after like a bunch of pieces that they have. If, you know, again, if you've got to take Dylan Brooks off their hands for the 2 seasons or whatever left on Dylan Brooks' contract, but it yields you one of those other pieces, that's where I'm looking at. Like, you know, again, DeMar DeRozan, Dylan Brooks, DeMar DeRozan and a first for Dylan Brooks, Jabari Smith, and maybe Cam Whitmore.
So help me God, if I have to watch Jaren Jackson and Dylan Brooks on a team together in Sacramento, I'll quit. I'm so serious.
They could be the Memphis Grizzlies West Coast version.
Oh my God. Just mix the Grizzlies and the Bulls.
Yeah, Grizzlies and Bulls mix. Is this bad? I don't know. It feels wrong.
Man, Jabari Smith, I know he hasn't taken that like superstar leap they were hoping he would take, and I think he's coming off the bench for them now.
Yep.
But he's really dang good.
I'm in, man.
He stands in the corner, catch and shoot threes, getting rebounds. He's playing defense on Steph. I would do the opposite of the Luka trade. If I was in charge of trying to get Jabari Smith, I would give up way too much.
Yeah.
I would give up a silly amount that is probably not the right thing to do, but I really like him as a player, especially when you consider what he does well and what the Kings need.
Yeah. I mean, he was a top three
they might
pick.
Be reserving him. I saw just real quick. I saw somebody in the chat. I was bringing this up. They probably want to use pieces like Cam Whitmore and Jabari Smith Jr. In a much larger deal,
mm-hmm.
to go get somebody like Giannis Antetokounmpo, or maybe it's Kevin Durant, or maybe it's one of the other huge names that we think will be available this summer. But if not, I am on the horn with them every day trying to work that out.
Well, that, and I mean, even if that's the case, it's always possible to jump in on that deal and give up a first round pick and take in a player like that if a team is looking for picks, for a pick, a package like that includes a whole bunch of first round picks. Like, jump in and try to get a player that way. Like, I still think Jabari Smith is worth a solid, solid first round pick. He's not, you know, worth the top three pick that he was, but he's still worth a solid, you know, like, you're going to have to give up a first and maybe a second to get him. And that's if they ever decide to trade him.
Yeah. Somebody asked if he's good or if he's just good against the Warriors. He shot 35.4% from three. He scored 12 points, pulled down 7 boards, about an assist a game. I'm in on him as a player, especially in a Kings system where he would be next to Domantas Sabonis, spacing the floor that way, not having to do a ton offensively. He's switchable defensively. I don't know if he can guard fives, like if he goes up against Alperen Şengün or Nikola Jokic, you're not throwing him on that player.
Yeah,
but I think he can credibly guard 2 through 4, maybe 1 through 4, depending on the one.
Yeah, I think putting him alongside a player like Keegan Murray would be spectacular. Yeah, like,
absolutely.
That's like if you had a front line next season opening up of Keegan Murray, Domantas Sabonis, and Jabari Smith Jr., I think you'd be in a great, great position.
Absolutely. We'll keep talking about this. There's a player on the Warriors who I want to talk about in this same. Lane when we get back. Just again, just kind of picking apart playoff teams. How can the Kings get better this offseason? That's how we're viewing the NBA playoffs. They've been a ton of fun, but we've got a couple more games tonight to talk about. And Brian Windhorst is, I have come around on Brian Windhorst and I am now a big fan. We'll talk about that coming up as well on the Insiders. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen, and Joe Brazil's with us. We're hanging out with you till noon, sponsored by Jiffy Lube here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
You're listening to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento Sports Leader. Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Everybody listening on the radio, 1320 AM or 98.5 FM HD2. Thank you for listening. If you're listening there and you need to get out of your car at some point, make sure to jump into youtube.com/ESPN1320 or twitch.tv/ESPN1320 and follow along in the chatty house, because there's an entirely different show going on in there.
Yeah.
There
is. It's wild.
Yep. Subscribe to the channel while you're there. Hit the thumbs up button on all our videos. We would appreciate the heck out of that. And if you're watching right now, go ahead and hit that little thumbs up button for us. We would greatly appreciate it. All right. Speaking of, here's how much we appreciate it. We appreciate that so much that we're going to give away $500.
Yes, we
did it all last week. We've done it all this week. And we'll give you a keyword in the second hour. I'm not going to tell you exactly when. But we'll give you a keyword in the second hour, and you go to ESPN1320.com, and you go to the Jump Shot Jackpot Giveaway. James, I'm going to need you to read who that is courtesy of, because I don't want to get it incorrect.
The Jump Shot Jackpot Giveaway is courtesy of Folsom Lake Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, home of the big guy, Vince Bloom.
There it is. We're giving away $500. That keyword, the first keyword coming up in the second hour of this program. Then D'Lo and Casey will have a keyword for you later. You enter at the Jump Shot Jackpot Giveaway contest page on ESPN 1320. You'll get two chances to enter, once on our show, once on D'Lo and Casey. Go try and win yourself $500.
I think tomorrow, too, we have two winners that we're giving away. Like, we're doing it two times.
Possibly.
All right.
Yeah, we're in talks, per source. Talks are ongoing about potentially having two winners tomorrow.
I've heard whispers.
Okay.
Tap in at 10 a.m. to find out. So we're talking about this Warriors Rockets game and how Cam Whitmore didn't play for the Rockets in garbage time and how the Kings should make a call about him and the different ways the Kings can get involved when the Rockets are siphoning off some of the talent, the way the Kings can kind of get involved there and try and sneak some of those players away from Houston. The other one that jumps out to me, and it continues to jump out at me, and I don't know where exactly the Warriors land with this player. I saw somebody ask if it's Jonathan Kuminga. It's not. We can talk about Jonathan Kuminga, but that's not the player I'm thinking of. Moses Moody is in the garbage time lineup for the Warriors, and he's not starting anymore, and he's not one of their first guys off the bench anymore. And he played really, really well again in the fourth quarter last night. He was outstanding. Really, really good in that stretch. It feels like he's really, really good whenever he plays. I want to get his numbers here because his numbers were good. He finished with 25 points on 9 of 18 from the field, 3 of 7 from beyond the arc, 9 rebounds, 5 of them offensive rebounds.
Hmm.
2 assists, 2 steals and a block, no turnovers.
I don't understand this at all. I don't.
Bro, I've got nobody knows. Nobody's quite sure. I think it's because he doesn't feel like he's a good defender, but like a little bit undersized. He can dribble the ball up the floor, but he doesn't have like a handle where he's gonna orchestrate the offense. I don't get it, but that's another player that I would just call the Warriors and just check in on where they're at. Cause I think they like him. I just don't, I don't know that if you're gonna give them something, I can't imagine that he would just be completely off the table for them, given how inconsistently he's utilized. And I think he'd be a great fit for the Kings. Versatile defender, good rebounder, hustle guy, glue guy.
Yeah, I've never understood, because every single time he plays against the Sacramento Kings, he looks like a frontline starter. I mean, he tears up the Kings. And I know a lot of people tear up the Kings, but every time he plays, like, the game is going nowhere. For the Warriors, he steps on the court, scores 14 points in 15 minutes, and never sees the court again. And you're like, why would you only play him 15 minutes when he's got 14 points and he's just unstoppable against the Kings? I don't get it. We've watched him grow as a player. The Warriors did this weird deal where, you know, again, I think they tried to limit his value a little bit. He's in the last year of his rookie scale deal right now, making $5.8 million. But he jumps to 11.6 for next year, 12.5, and 13.4. And if they're going to use him the way they use him right now, he's not worth it to have on their roster. Like, he, for what they're getting out of him right now, they're paying way too much. And so if I'm a team like the Kings, like, I'm offering you one of my trade exceptions, or I'm offering you my mid-level exception, and I'm offering you a second-round pick, and that's it. Because there's going to come a point here where the Warriors, that $11.5 million for Moody next season is way more than what they're getting out of him. And it's on them that's all he's scoring. But that's where I'm kind of at. Like, he should be a player that they're looking to give away.
And that's the thing, is maybe he's in their plans. Maybe next year's iteration, because I heard Anthony Slater say this. Was it on... D'Lo and Casey, but he more or less said that, like, for Golden State, he's kind of looking at next year, like, where they have a full season of Jimmy Butler and they can kind of build around a Butler, Curry, Green trio. And maybe in that instance, maybe Moses Moody is going to be a major player. And he did start 34. He played 74 games. He started 34 of them this year. He played 22 minutes a night. So maybe he's a piece in the Kings call and they're like, absolutely not. We have a very specific, but I mean, right now I don't see any reason to not make that phone call, because I saw somebody in the chat say, oh, just what they need, another shooting guard type, but he's very different than Malik Monk.
Oh no, he's like, a 2-3.
He plays good defense. Yeah. He plays really good defense, catch and shoot. He's going to go get rebounds. He's going to get 50-50 balls. Like, he just does. And that's the exact type of player. And I think that's the other reason he jumps out to me, is because when he plays well, it's him doing literally all of the things that the Kings need a player to do.
Yeah.
Like, and so I'd make the call. Maybe they say no. Maybe they say double birds. Like, get out of here. We don't even want a first round pick for him. We have plans for Moses. Maybe. But I'd make the call.
I don't buy that at all, just by the way that they've treated him over the last handful of years. I mean, he's been there 4 years, and he's still not part of the rotation full time. And so for me, like, he's a lot like Malik Beasley. Like, he can get on a heater, and he can be like a player that really, like, you know, like, you can, you don't want to rely on him scoring 20 a night or something, but as a rotational player, like, he's another guy with a monstrous wingspan. Like, if you're looking for length and athleticism, whatever position it's at, he just would make a lot of sense. But, like, look, the Kings have much bigger, like, issues than whether a guy like this would make sense for them. But I do see a lot of ways in which it could happen. And then the Kuminga thing, like, I saw someone in the chat say, oh, why don't you just do a sign and trade for DeMar DeRozan? And, okay, so first of all, I'm not giving him DeMar DeRozan money. Because I don't think Kuminga's proved that he's worth that yet. Secondly, when you do a sign and trade and you're over the cap, you get hard capped again. And I'm not going to get hard capped 2 years in a row on DeMar DeRozan. I'm not. One time signing him and one time trading him. Unless you're getting a really, really, really good player. I'm just not going to just continuously hard cap myself on whatever the DeMar DeRozan contract is. I think he's going to have a lot more value in moving him as an expiring contract or a contract that's, you know, $25 million next year and then $10 million buyout the year after that.
On Jonathan Kuminga specifically, I know we've talked about him a lot on this show, and he's had his ups and downs in his career. And I post-injury, it just, he looked like a, because he was starting to kind of get it. And then once he came back from his injury, it's just he can't figure out how to fit with Golden State. I think if you're acquiring Jonathan Kuminga at this point, it's because you're going to give him the keys and say, here, like, this is, you think you're a star. Like, that's what we think too. You go get it. Because I don't know that he wants to accept the type of role that he would have in Sacramento.
No, of course not.
If that makes sense. And maybe he is. Maybe he is a superstar in waiting. Like, I know he works super hard, and he's obviously super talented. And maybe Brooklyn trades for him, and he gets to be the 1A in Brooklyn, and he just blossoms and becomes an all-star, an all-NBA guy. Like, maybe. But that's not going to be the case in Sacramento. And I think if Sacramento tries to bring him in and put him in similar situations that he was in with the Warriors, I think you're going to get similar results where, yeah, some nights he's going to score 28 and then other nights he's going to score 6 and be a disaster on both ends of the floor.
Yeah. He's got that like Billy Owens upside. Like, the highs are great. The lows are like, what in the world just happened?
And I understand why Golden State, Joe Lacob, is obsessed with him. Because go watch him in the first half of this year before he got hurt, before he suffered a really, really bad ankle injury. He was really starting to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
When to attack, when to distribute, where to be on the floor defensively. We've seen him at times play really good defensively against, like, Jason Tatum, where he's just standing Jason Tatum up on the perimeter. The flashes have been there.
Yep.
And I get why for the Kings that would also be really enticing, but he would have to be willing to fit into a role that I don't think he's willing to fit into at this point of his career.
No.
And that's nothing having to do with talent is why I'm out on Jonathan Kuminga.
No, it's the curse of the young player who thinks he can be Michael Jordan. And if he doesn't learn by season 4 that he's not Michael Jordan, and that he's not even Scottie Pippen, that's a problem. That's as big a problem as anything else. And so you hope that he gets in a place where he can thrive, but there's also a very good chance that doesn't happen because that's not his personality.
Austin Rivers says it all the time on his podcast, learn your role, save your life.
Yep.
And I don't think he's quite learned his role just yet. So that's where I'm at on Jonathan Kuminga. Awesome player, but not somebody I'd pursue if I'm the Kings and at least this version. Of the Kings. All right. We have a whole second hour to do.
We do?
Cool. Yeah, no, there's an entire second hour of this program left. We'll keep talking NBA playoffs. We'll keep talking Kings. And I got to tell you why I really, really love Brian Windhorst. We'll go over all that in the second hour. James Hamm's there. Joe Brazil behind the glass doing great work. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. This is ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento sports leader.